Nation with my girl Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck? The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
Hey. Oh. What's up? What the fuck? Welcome to The Sandwich Generation. I'm your host, Mitch. And we're in our first segment, which I sometimes call the race to 18. Although I really don't know if I want to do the race. I don't know. It just sounds great to say the race to 18. But I don't really know that I'm in much of a rush. So this segment, what I'm mostly going to be talking about is communication with your minor children, which means 18 and under. So I think I've expressed before that I am blessed to love a child who is highly functioning but does deal with ADHD and oppositional defiance disorder. I do believe I've also shared that my theory is that when one is oppositionally defiant, it is first to themselves, then to authority. We think just because we say oppositional defiance that it's you're in defiance to authority. And that can happen, but it's first with not being able to be settled with yourself. You're defiant to your thought process. You're defiant to the results you get. So, but he has come such a long way, and I am so proud of him. I do tell him when I have the opportunity to, but as I mentioned before, raising him has been difficult, especially in the younger years where you're supposed to say, good job. That's so amazing. You did really good work. My response I would normally get would be, no, that's awesome. No, that's awful. Or no, it's not. It sucks. So that was actually kind of traumatic for me as a parent, because when I said good job or when I said that looks amazing, I meant it. I'm not one to lie about those types of things. I feel like if I don't like it, I can just not say. So it's been hard to watch. It's hard to watch. It's hard to know that he's struggling so much. So he's now in his teens. He'll be 16 soon. And it's the non-communication that can be a challenge for me. And now a chance to be completely transparent as a parent, the transparent parent, is that sometimes I check out and I'm a little ashamed to say that. I've been blessed enough to, you know, the first part of my divorce, I was living in a one-bedroom apartment. I would sleep in the living room so that he could have some semblance of a room and privacy. But we would interact more than now when I live in a two-bedroom apartment and he, quote-unquote, has his own room. Of course, if someone comes over, which no one has yet, but it's a perfect guest room for if I want to have company. But I feel like sometimes when the children have their own room, it further exacerbates this problem with communication. It's already hard for him to communicate. So him being left to his own devices in his own room, I don't always think it's the best thing. So we do have our little things that we do, though, which are funny. I think it started with 60 days in this show about people that were sort of infiltrating the jail system to kind of see what happens. I might be judged for watching that with my child. Then we would watch World's Strictest Parents on YouTube. Then we went through all of those. And now we're on Wife Swap. We watch episodes of Wife Swap. I taught him how to bake pie. And he is like such a better pie baker than I am now. He does way better than I do. And I've also noticed that that's his zen. You know, like that's his zone. So I even talked to him recently about maybe taking a cooking class. And in this moment, I'm thinking, might be nice if we take a cooking class together. I'm always trying to find ways to kind of eke him out of his room. And like I said, there are times I've been going through so many microaggressions at my job, which I might be talking about on the next segment. I've been going through so much that once I get home, I'm exhausted. And I think it's just the quality of not knowing, or the instance of not knowing how to engage with him, what to do with him. Because sometimes I ask him to make a pie and he doesn't want to make a pie. And that's fine. Like, I would never want to force him to do something like that, especially if it's his happy place. I want him to be in his zone. So in my new apartment, I basically have a master suite. And I have to be very intentional about making sure I'm in the common areas, in the living room, you know, and in the kitchen, that I'm just there and present so that if he comes out, if there's an opportunity to interact, that it's there. And so I've talked to you about last time with the vocabulary section. The individualized education plan has an annual meeting, just in case you didn't know. And so it was a Zoom meeting and his dad was there. Dad had the camera off. And I'm seeing that I'm just indifferent to the dad. I don't hate him. I don't feel those strong feelings of love for him anymore. I am anxious for this divorce to come to an end. It's dragging on 3 years now. However, had I not gotten an attorney, I wouldn't have seen all of the financial abuse that was going on, and I would have been left holding the bag for quite a bit. So it is what it is, but, you know, it's just kind of indifferent. And they say the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And, you know, hearing his voice didn't move me. I don't know, seeing him sometimes, I get a little riled up, not riled up, but just, it's difficult seeing him sometimes. I will say I'm glad that this divorce is happening while my son is older. I can't imagine just dragging on and droning on with this, you know, if it had started when he was 3 or 2 and you have to keep dealing with this person that is really not interested in co-parenting with you. And then additionally, speaking to my son about my son, you know, I wish he would talk about the divorce more than he does. It just doesn't seem to be something that he cares to communicate about. So I kind of am at a loss as to how he feels. I know his dad's got a girlfriend now, and I think they're going to be getting married soon, which I'm like, can we get this divorce finished so you can do what it is that you want to do? I know I definitely would like to be free of the situation, but I do just wish I could get my son to talk about it more. I know from his perspective, it's why talk about it? Nothing is going to change. Talking to him, communication to him has to have a purpose. So I talked about it and then I got my parents back together. Or I talked about it and I feel more at peace. So he's just not interested in communicating that way. So this particular show, some of the segments are going to kind of blend into one another. And I want to kind of move into more of the sandwiched you, is what I want to call this next segment. You know, you being sandwiched in between the generations and trying to tend to yourself and take care of yourself. So I want to talk about some fucking bullshit that went down in my job, my peeps. Oh my God. Keep your eye out for the vultures, the energy vampires, and the ones that just don't want you to succeed. there was a situation at my job where I was assigned on our team to do something, add something to a document. And I added something to the document about, you know, the night before. It was probably like around 9 o'clock the night before. So I goes and I gets ready to do the meeting with the peoples, right? Meet with the people on my team. And as we're sitting there, I'm looking at the document and I'm seeing all my shit has been erased. What the fuck? Like, it's gone. The stuff that I was assigned to do is gone. But see, they take a woman like me. I ain't going to say a bitch because I ain't a bitch. I ain't never going to call myself a bitch. But they take a highly educated woman like me for a fool. They really thought they could erase my information and make it look like I haven't been doing my part, because I've been getting reported to my boss with these microaggressions from these individuals at my job. Okay. And they're all random. They're coming to her randomly. So it's like shooting in the dark. You don't even know who your target is. You don't know who to come to and say, okay, has this been satisfied for you so that you can stop complaining to me, to my boss? So I ain't stupid. Right there in the meeting, I go into Google Docs, and there's a way you can go into the edit history, the revision history. So these assholes, they keep sitting there talking and going on with what it is they're going on about. And then I go into the revision history, and I notice that the meeting is running past time, and I got to go. I have a doctor's appointment. Self-care is important, peeps. So as I'm walking out the door, the spineless man, I'm going to call him the spineless man, because he's the one that modified my work and made it look like nothing was there. He goes, well, look, you still need to do this. Look, you still need to do these slides. Fuck me. I'm telling you, if I wasn't twice baked like a potato, I was a burnt potato. So on my way out the door, I say, no, I did that. I did that last night. I did that last night at 10:37. 10:47, I did that. But if the team wants, I will redo it. I'll do it all over again. But I want you to know I did it. And then I left and went out the door. And then I sent a video and a picture of the revision history to my boss. Y'all need to keep it together. Keep your eyes open. Because the haters are real. They are haters and not participators, okay? They will fuck you over in a minute. And so I'm just wondering, like, what would have happened if I didn't have the foresight to check the revision history right there in the meeting? Then they would have made it look like I still haven't done anything. Like, they can keep complaining to my boss and I don't care to fix anything. And that's what they want. That's what they want for the token person, be it the black person. It could be an LGBTQ person. In my case, I'm a black woman. And you want to tell me that I'm not being targeted? You want to tell me this is not gaslighting and microaggressions? Yeah, so we're going to deal with some gaslighting and microaggressions when we get back.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Oh.
And we all got dreams, we all want things, but what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
Okay, so let's get back to it. So yeah, in this situation, I was bold and brave enough to know to check the revision history. So then those on my team, rather than admitting that they had done something wrong, then pressured me to send an updated email to my boss that the problem had been resolved, which I planned to do. But then they loaded me with more tasks, which I had to fulfill because they're complaining to me. They're complaining not to me. I wish they would complain personally to me, but they're going directly to my boss. And so I planned on sending the email, but then when we had our second meeting, that day, I realized they wanted me to send it on their terms. So they started pressuring me to send it before the end of the day. And then, forgive me, but there's no other way to say this, but one of the white ladies was like, well, you said you were going to do it this morning and you didn't. And I said, I know, because you gave me more duties. And somebody, random people are complaining that I'm not doing my duties. So I need to make sure they get done. And she said, well, I'm going to take your word that you're going to get it done today. I don't know if I should. And then she turns and laughs at the spineless man and says, huh, should I? Should I believe her? And nobody answers. And I literally said, I really don't care if you believe me or not. I don't care if you take me at my word or not, because it's obvious that few on this team do. And then so she comes back with a snarky, you don't care if I take your word, and sort of laughs, which no one kind of spirals into. But my thing is, I don't even have to prove you wrong. Like, I don't have the energy for that. You guys are looking like idiots. You cannot deny or dispute a revision history in Google Documents. I believe it's also true in Word. But the thing is that, do you think I'm stupid just because I'm a black woman? Why do you think that it would be okay to gaslight me? Because that is literally workplace gaslighting. I've done my part after you complain that I don't do my part. And then in the process of that, then now you say, yeah, so now that we can see what happened, can you just send a letter to our boss so we don't quite look so bad? No, I'm going to do it on my own terms. And I did. And I don't think you want to mess with me, because I penned a very long email that they now have to contend with whenever my boss sees it. But it's just like I'm having this energy to where I don't have to prove anybody wrong anymore. Like, these coworkers at these fucking jobs, they start acting like they're your boss. They're not your boss. And even if they are, your boss doesn't own you. So my thing is, I don't have to prove you wrong. I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to be myself. I'm not going to worry about what it is that you are meddling into in terms of my business. I'm going to take it slow, take it easy, and just be myself. Because I do my job without the interference of all of these other people. So I really have been getting into certain readings, like tarot readings on YouTube. And there are a couple of people that I follow. And they like warned me that all of this stuff was happening. These people are actually intimidated by me and they're actually afraid of me. And I'm just walking around with some, these little light of mine, and I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, right? I'm just letting my light shine. I'm not paying attention to these people. But they're scared because they know that whenever I come in front of the children can feel my energy. And I meet so many strangers every day, so many wonderful people that God sends my way. I was invited to lunch yesterday just to get out of the toxicity of that office that I work in. And when I was invited to lunch, I just happened to be taking a break to sit out in the sun. And some ladies just invited me over. Just think about the beauty of that, you know. Like, when you think about the movie The Color Purple, it's named after that part, that scene in the movie that says, I think it pisses God off when you walk past the color purple and don't notice. Think about the weight of that. So I'm going through all of this fucking shit at my job, and God is consistently, I don't even have to wave the white flag. God is consistently giving me other versions of positivity to focus on, giving me other elements of joy to partake in. I don't need to worry about these assholes. Like, you look stupid, and I'm tired of even dealing with you. You're childish. You obviously don't love yourself. And that was another thing that came up, like, in our meeting. They said, what is one thing that you're working on? And I was very proud to say, I'm continuing this wondrous unfolding journey of self-love and self-respect. Because when I have those, then it flows freely to others. And I don't have to care so much about being liked. I don't need to care about being accepted. I don't need to care what some fucking body said about me. Fuck you. Like, I don't care. I really don't. And so you got to remember that if you're dealing with these kinds of things, these are sad, pitiful, small, little people. Now, my stature is 5'11", but my spirit is fucking big. Okay. Let's say Eiffel Tower. Okay. No. Don't get the small stature confused. So I've been realizing that I need to find different ways of settling myself down. So in my workplace, I might go to a school site and then I have to drive to the office. And in that time, I called that in the gap. In the gap, you need to breathe. In the gap, you can pray. In the gap, you can look at a cloud and just look at it. Just observe it. Don't judge it. See if there's 5 seconds where you can do nothing but observe. Don't even think, oh, that's a white cloud. Maybe that's how you start, though. Oh, that's a white cloud. And then see if you can get 5 seconds of no thought at all. And if you can't, that's fine. Meet yourself with compassion. But I've been learning the importance of breath work, just simply breathing in and breathing out. In through your nose, out through your mouth. And I also do what I call open eye meditation, which is what I just told you, where I'm just looking at something, an ant crawling on the ground, a cloud in the sky. For whatever reason, I like to look at things that are moving slightly. So maybe some running water or some grass blowing in the wind. And just immerse yourself in it for just a few minutes. You deserve that. You owe that to yourself. And then go back into the motherfucking bullshit, because it's going to be there waiting for you. You already know. But you might as well have a clear head, right? You might as well connect with your God or your spirit team. You might as well, you know, put a little essential oil, some lemon essential oil or lavender. Spray yourself with a little bit of that and go in for the next round. And then I have this other thing I've been doing called round the wall, where I step straight up against the wall and then I extend my arms up and around and down. And then I come back up again and around and down. And sometimes it's just being able to actually feel the wall, feel the coldness or the warmth of the wall. But anything you can do to take your attention and your focus off of the bullshit is going to be a gift to yourself. It's going to be a gift to yourself. And you owe yourself this gift to yourself. Because these people will try to make you feel like you're less than. They'll try to make you feel like you're not worthy. they're trying to make you feel like they're more important than you are. And they sure as fuck will make you try to feel like they're your fucking boss. I mean, nobody on my team pretty much talks to me. I'm pretty much ignored. But the flip side is, a few weeks ago, before I started standing in my power, I was part of the in crowd, sort of. At least they made me feel that way. And that's what you got to be wary of, too, if they make you think you're part of the in crowd. So I was part of the in crowd. You know, we'd be at the office and we'd have conversations. We'd be at our school site. We'd have conversations. We'd laugh and talk and joke. But my spirit team, even then, was telling me, don't get it twisted. If you rely on them to make you feel good, you're going to rely on them to make you feel bad. Do not give them that much power. And then the shit hit the fan probably a few days after I got that spiritual message. So I don't eat with them anymore. When I'm in the office, I have my headphones on. I don't give a fuck. You are not my employer. You're my coworker. And I've also learned the value of filing a fucking report. Go to HR and file a report. Our ancestors died for us to have these privileges, to not be abused by assholes. So go file a fucking report. Okay? File a report. Get a lawyer. Gauge your boss. If your boss is approachable, talk to your boss about it. Don't be silent. We need to stop suffering in silence. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. So these are the things that I've been dealing with in addition to balancing the self-care. So that being said, I'm pretty much going to introduce the next segment now. Now, for the next segment, we're going to be talking about elders, and I'm going to be talking to you about all the bullshit I've been going through these past couple of weeks. I'll start by saying my mother has COVID. I think I got a phone call about that about 2 or 3 days ago. And I finally got her approved for the assisted living waiver program. So I'm hoping that she's going to end up not having to remain in the fucked up place that she's in right now. I'll explain all that in the next segment. But I'm concerned. You know, she's in isolation. I don't know how she's doing. I need to go up there. And when you go up there, I think they said they have to put you in the full gear and everything. But see, you need to know how the cookies is baking in that damn oven. You need to see, you need to check and see how things going, you know? You need to just show up and be like, what the fuck? What y'all doing? What y'all doing with my mama? Did she have her medication? She's coughing. When's the last time she saw a doctor? Interrogate their asses. Because you might be the only advocate that your elder has. And I know it's overwhelming. That's why I do this show. I know it's a lot. That's why I'm here. But together, I feel like we can do this. With resources, we got it.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. Is everybody in the world blind? Please, Lord, give me a sign. A sign.
Yeah, please give me a damn sign. So this is the segment about the elders. My mama got the COVID, y'all. She got the COVID. So I was talking to someone about QIO. In this last episode, we went over some acronyms and the vocabulary words. So here's a new one, QIO. Stands for Quality Improvement Organization. And their number, just so you know, is 866-316-6977. QIO stands for Quality Improvement Organization. They are set up specifically to improve the quality of care for those who are on Medicare. So this lady was telling me, and I'm hoping I get her on as a guest real soon, because she's got a lot of information on this organization and on different things. But she was telling me that this facility was trying to kick her out, saying that her approved days had run out. And if I understand correctly, QIO was able to get her 10 additional days. I might get that wrong, but I think that's what it was, 10 additional days. But think about that. Even if it is, quote unquote, only 10 days, that could be the difference between the 1st and the 15th when your next disbursement comes in and you're more financially able to deal with things. It could buy you a little time to make your next move. So what these places are doing should be criminal. And this lady talked to me specifically about the skilled nursing facilities. What they are doing should be considered criminal. They basically try to get a person to use up their days. And then when they get close to those days, they try to threaten to kick them out. Now, for intents and purposes of your rights and the rights of your elder, they cannot put a person out on the street. If they do, that is completely illegal. You can call the popo and you can get them reported. And you can probably file a lawsuit and sue the I was going to say the asses off their pants. Do I mean the pants off their asses? Ooh, I'm tired, y'all. You know what I mean. So anyway, in my own case, I'll be honest, like I forgot what happened at day 60 when my mother was in this SNF. They call it a SNF, skilled nursing facility. There's another vocabulary word. But for the sake of discussion, let's just call it closing out the month. Okay, just trying to close out the month in the red. Let's just say what these places are doing. No, in the black, rather. They want to close out the month in the black. They don't want to be in the red. They want to make sure that they're financially buoyant or whatever you want to call it. So on my mother's journey, she went to the hospital and then was again released to a SNF. This is probably her third one since I moved her from Colorado. So she's in a skilled nursing facility, which is also known as rehab. And I'll be honest, I'd be feeling kind of weird saying rehab sometimes because I'd be feeling like my mama's strung out on drugs and my mama ain't never did no drugs. But you know what I'm saying. So when you hear people say rehabilitation, don't think drugs and alcohol all the damn time. So I like to say physical rehabilitation, but they refer to them as SNF, skilled nursing facility. So you got to learn the fucking terminology. So here's another terminological term for you. I hope you fucking listening. Care plan. A care motherfucking plan. As soon as your elder is admitted into a SNF or you yourself are admitted into a SNF or any fucking where long term, there should be, here go the vocabulary word again, a fucking care plan. Now, fucking is not part of the vocabulary word, but I think you know what I mean. Care plan. Okay? This is a guide to what the facility can and cannot do and what the prognosis is or what they think is wrong with the person, how long they think the person might possibly need to stay there. To date, I have not gotten a care plan at this facility where my mother is right now. In fact, at the other two facilities, I never got a care plan. You should have a care plan when you arrive and a discharge plan when it's time for you to go. Okay? The doctor, as far as I know, is responsible for the report of the discharge plan because the discharge plan says that the person has medically reached their plateau of improvement and it's now time for them to go. The plateau, meaning time to go. Okay. All right. So both should involve a meeting. There should be a care plan meeting with the facility. as well as a discharge meeting with the facility. Okay? And the care meeting should be upon arrival and admission. Okay? So definitely within the first week, you should be getting a care plan. Do you know I've had to hunt these assholes down and I still have never gotten a care plan for my mom? She's been there over 71 days and still no care plan. So I still need to find out the legality or the illegality of this because, you know, I might be in a mood to sue some motherfuckers. I don't really know. I'm just feeling like the energy of lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. If it's your fucking mama, you probably feel the same way. Don't get it twisted. So flash forward to present. My mother had been in the SNF, skilled nursing facility, rehab center, for about 2 months, which is about 60 days. And precisely at day 60, they started putting on the heavy motherfucking pressure. And I do mean, it was mind-bending. It was very overwhelming for me. So I think it's twofold. I think they're trying to close out the end of the month and they want to ensure payment, you know, because I applied for the assisted living waiver program, which I'll be talking about in future episodes. And something happens at day 60 with this waiver program, but I wasn't prepared for at day 60, this facility to start harassing me like I stole something. Shit. So one, they want to not be left with a big bill. But, you know, as long as they think insurance is involved, they don't even have the courtesy to even do a care plan. I was hunting people down. They weren't even returning my calls. They can't even be reached by phone. Okay. Because they know the money is coming in and they're cool. And then number two, I need to find out what the hell is so significant about day 60. Like, I know 60 days has relevance for the assisted living waiver program. But let me tell you what the fuck happened to me at day 60. So they started coming with the heavy fucking artillery, that like the big guns, emotionally speaking. And these SNFs are assholes. Like, let me tell you what happened. So the administrator called. And I told her, as my advocate told me to tell her, that I'm in the process of applying for the ALWP. Now, remember that, Assisted Living Waiver Program, because that's how I'm going to refer to it. I don't feel like continually saying that over and over again. So write that down for your damn acronym, okay? I'm applying for the ALWP, and y'all is going to be paid, okay? Leave me the fuck alone. Y'all is going to be paid. I didn't say leave me the fuck alone, but I wish I had. This bitch said if the $3,000 balance wasn't paid, that she was going to call Adult Protective Services on me for malfeasance and abusing my mother's funds. The fuck? Did you fucking hear what I just said to you? I reiterated that they'd be paid as soon as the ALWP kicked in. And let me tell you what these assholes did. Twofold. I'm going to first tell you what they did to my mama. And God going to get them for messing with my mama. They shouldn't be messing with nobody mama, nobody granny. God gonna get you, okay? As a scare tactic, they woke my mom up at 5 o'clock in the morning and sat her in the hallway for 4 hours, did not feed her, and she only had her hospital gown on. No reason why. She was cold and she was scared. Eventually, they took her back to her room. And then they sent the police to her room to question her. But even the popo didn't even know what they're supposed to be doing, so they eventually left. But think about the weight of that. She's fucking terrified. This is too much. Then for me, this administrator, this fucking facility, did call Adult Protective Services on me. Adult Protective Services threatened to call the police and the district attorney about me abusing my mother's funds. I'm fucking horrified. I'm a professional woman here. I'm a single parent. I'm divorcing. So what I did was I called the ombudsman, who was confused as fuck. She's like, I don't even know why they're saying that or doing that. I call my advocate and I call lawyers. You have to know your rights and you have to be willing to make the waves. So unfortunately, she's still in that facility because I'm waiting for the ALWP to kick in to move her to a really nice assisted living place. But now she has COVID and I'm left to wonder if they gave it to her somehow. Like, she had said her blanket was missing, but she ended up with another blanket. Did they like intentionally take the blanket of somebody else that had COVID and put that shit on my mom? God's gonna get them for that fucking shit. Like, seriously. And then one of the things this lady I was telling you about said is at some point, these people become worth more to them dead than alive. So they will manipulate the records. They will do shit like that just so that they can get a payoff or continually get paid. If they can get an amputation to get paid for. I mean, it's horrifying, actually. So my thing is, now I'm trying to get her moved to an assisted living facility. I've looked up a few of them, and I'm pretty sure that I know where she's going. I'm hoping that on a future episode, I'll be able to get the ladies that assisted me. And just the way God works is so amazing. I was stressed as fuck one day about some stuff that was going on with my mom. And I went to Color Me Mine and I chose the window seat. And this lady saw me painting in the window and she said, I could see you're so peaceful. You're at such peace, but I wasn't. It was like the second time my mom got kicked out because of her bad attitude. And I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? So this lady just walks up to me and she starts saying how she can get me involved in the assisted living waiver program. And these two ladies, they have held my hand, one holding the left, one holding the right, through this whole process until I got my mother approved for Medi-Cal with no share of cost, which qualifies her for the assisted living waiver program. This is information I feel like you need to know. So pray with me. I need to get these ladies up in here. We need to, if that needs to be a whole entire podcast with all three segments, then so be it. Because we got to get our shit together. I mean, that biblical passage, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Let that settle for you for a second. Let that rest on you. Like, if I didn't know what was going on, what would be happening with my mother right now? What condition would she be in? And I pray to God my kids will have the foresight that I've had to deal with this. So remember, if there's something you want us to talk to about, reach out to us on social media, on our website. If there's something you have a question about one of our previous episodes, let us know. We are here for you. We're here to develop community, create community, enjoy community. And let's just do this. We got to keep ourselves together, raise these kids, take care of ourselves, and respect our elders. Take care, y'all. I'm out.